Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Now.
Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin.
I'm Shane.
And you are listening to the podcast that is making conspiracies fun again.
Yeah.
Welcome today. The UFO that got away. The amazing story of the Fort Knox UFO.
Ooh, fun. Don't they all get away?
Well, no. Not, no.
I guess Roswell.
Yeah, that's true. This one is pertinent because it occurred on January 7th. 1948, so 75 years ago exactly this week.
Okay.
Very excited. One of my favorite UFO stories. I'm very excited all to talk about it. I'm back on.
You're on the sauce. Your dry January is done.
No, it's a damp January is what my wife and I are calling it. Drier. It's like we are in the midst of trying to develop some healthy boundaries around lots of stuff.
Okay, well, that's good.
You know?
I'm off everything.
I know. You're a basket of nerves.
Haven't even touched my weenus since January 2nd.
Well, that's a real dry January.
Dude, it's so dry. Yeah. No, my wife was like, why are you doing that? I was like, it's good for you. Clear out your...
Well, no or fap, not clear they my, call that. Yeah, we covered no fap.
We did. Long time really, ago.
Long time. We should bring that back.
We should.
A lot of guys into that.
Yeah, not me. not me, man. But it hasn't been hard. It's been... No, don't even... That's an easy joke. Easy. But no, it's been so easy. Apparently, I'm not an addict to everything that I thought I was.
Yeah, I'm an addict to some things, but there's things that I can just be like, all right, I'm going to stop this for 10 days and it's not a problem.
Nice. Well, that's good.
No, I just want to... I'm going to have a beer. I think that's a reasonable amount of alcohol to drink.
Absolutely.
A few times a week.
Well, cool. I'm excited. We have some quick news.
Oh, yeah.
We met with the folks at Moment, the place that's going to be doing our live event.
Live Conspiracy Beer Me podcast with the good friend Mark Brady of Hummies VR Comedy.
Live from the studio
with Mark Brady.
Yeah, exclusive merch. We'll have Mark Brady.
You guys are not going to believe what this it is going to be. Cats, dogs living together.
It's going to be great.
Fun.
I'm excited.
Me too. Also very excited for our patrons. Thank you for supporting us. If you're not, please consider it. You get a bonus episode. Plus, thanks to Moments, we're going to be able to do some things like meet and greets.
Yeah,
and,
after parties
with our live events. And so that'll be patrons first.
Yeah, and Spotify premium as well.
So thank you. Yeah. And on that note, I'm really excited to bring our guest in.
Me too.
Because not only is she returning to the show for the second time, she is recording her debut comedy album at the brand new Good Nights Comedy Club here in Raleigh, North Carolina next week. Please welcome to the show, Helen Wildley.
Hey.
Yeah, there it is. Nice. Woo! You're almost the first and only person drinking on the pod, but Justin went in.
Well,
I'm
from the Irish. My family's from Ireland, and Helen's a good Irish gal.
Indeed, I am.
Wearing green today.
That's
nice.
Right. Yeah. St. Patrick's Day all year.
Yeah, same. Right?
Wait, what do you have over there?
Oh, this is called Bella V Lemon Agua.
This is from Aldi. One of our sponsors.
I wish.
Thanks, Aldi.
Aldi has great, great sparkling water if you haven't tried it.
Everything they have is great.
It's great.
Yeah,
it's
at Aldi.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Happy anniversary to this conspiracy.
That Aldi and Lidl were brothers that got in a fight?
That's a conspiracy that I think has been... Debunked? I thought I don't know. My cousin told me that, and I was like, I really spread that rumor a lot.
It's real.
I think it's real.
I feel like I Googled it, and someone Google told me told me no.
I Googled it, and someone Google told me yes. So
this Aldi water is strong.
I think they had a dispute over like selling cigarettes in the store or something.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
And then they're not going to do that. And he was like, hey, why are you talking in an Irish accent?
German brothers.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And then they broke off into essentially the exact same store.
Yeah, and they have colors. It where you can only do like certain areas or all. It's very like East-West Berlin. It's like,
oh yeah,
and in Ireland too. It's like there are parts of it where like you can have a Lidl or an Aldi, and it's in their contract that they have to be so far apart.
Really?
They have to be like a certain distance
apart.
Oh,
they have non-compete.
Yeah. Oh. It's like you get this neighborhood, we get this neighborhood.
Walgreens and CVS should have signed that because they're on every corner.
McDonald's and Burger King. You heard? Yeah, exactly. Let's end this feud today.
That's what me and my brother did with our parents. It's like you get mom, I get dad.
Oh, that's good.
Just kidding, you got both. I'm the black sheep.
Of course.
I'm fine with it. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
We're really excited and excited about your album. How are you? Are you ready?
I'm feeling ready. I'm feeling excited. I hope everyone knows to go to the right club.
There are people
who know about don't even know about the pop-up. There are people who know about the pop-up, and then there are people who aren't going to know that it's like brand new open spot.
Yeah.
So that's my main concern. I've been using the word surrender a lot in my personal life. Like, you know, just surrender.
Just surrender to
it. Yeah. I'm working on the parts I can work on, which is telling people where it is and the comedy part. I feel like that's what I'm
that's
just
all
really
you
focused
can
on.
Focus
yeah.
That's
and just right, so right. you know, the universe does work in your favor. So I realized my entire reason for being on Earth was revealed last week. I was eating dinner at Irregardless next to the old Goodnights.
Love Irregardless.
I leave Irregardless. A woman pulls and stops her car, and she goes, "You know where Goodnights is?" And I was like, "Not here. This is rubble." I said, "It's just around the corner." Right. And I told her. And she's like, "Great." And if I hadn't have been there, she would never have gone to the comedy show.
She would have Googled, like, are Aldi and Lidl brothers?
Yeah, exactly. And they have nothing to do. So, yeah, there'll be someone there. Wow. The universe will put someone there to tell people to find your show.
Yeah, it's not – look – it's literally like a block and a half away.
Totally. And also, someone said to me, I just always assume that people just type into their phone, Goodnights Comedy, and then just like GPS it. Because that's what I always do, even though I know where it is. I don't know. And my friend was like, let me check my tickets to see if there's an address on there. And I was like, check your tickets? Oh, what year is this?
Yeah,
I was like, no. I was like, you're going to punch it in your phone, and it's going to take you wherever hopefully I am.
Yeah. Well, Goodnights on maps says permanently closed, so they need to figure that out.
They need to figure that out.
Well...
No, but it is. It's in the Village District downstairs. Yes. I got to preview it because I was doing some work down there, and it's going to be fantastic.
You've got real life skills.
Well, no. I just follow orders really well. Okay, so I'm excited for your album.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. Will I see you guys there?
Yeah, we'll be there for sure.
Okay.
Hear that, Fear Me fans? You can see them in the wild. It's Comedy Club.
You know, I don't want to take tickets away from you, but I'm going to buy them last minute.
That's good. That's
just because I need to see the last final push right at the
end. Yeah. Thank you. Well, you guys don't do that.
We are you a UFO believer? When I say UFO, I mean like that there are unidentified flying objects that are of a either extraterrestrial origin or some superior intelligence here on Earth.
I like to believe it, yeah.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right.
I think why not? You know, it's sort of fun. I do think a lot of it is... I mean, I don't know. There's so much going on out there. I would hate to think it's just us, you know? More like UFO.
Yeah, it would be pretty lame if it was just us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we're the best we've got.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It's got to be somebody better, right?
I mean, we're good.
Well, this story is straight ripped from Hollywood. I'm surprised it has not been made into a movie yet. But it began... 75 years ago, when a 25-year-old World War II hero...
he's 100 now.
Yeah. Kind of crazy.
Yeah. Probably dead.
48, so he was in the war. He was a pilot in World War II. So he's really just kind of fresh out the war, and he's still an Air Force pilot. His name is Captain Thomas Mantell.
Okay.
And he is leading three other pilots, which I think at this point we're now part of like the National Guard, but the National Guard was a little more stout.
Okay.
Like nowadays, the National Guard kind of has a bad rap.
Do they? They get together and camp on the weekends. What are you
talking
about?
Yeah, I think that's the whole image now. It's kind of like military light.
And they're very important.
If you're a National Guard, I'm not knocking.
No, I'm just saying. That's just what people perceive.
I think, in 48, they were like, why do we have so many enlisted military? The war's over. So they formed this kind of like, well, we need a National Guard to kind of stay active. So that's what he was. Stationed at Louisville's Astrander Ford Field.
Okay, that's a mouthful.
Not familiar with that. Yeah, rolls right off the tongue.
Going to get stranded in Astrander Field.
Yeah. So they are part of the National Guard's Flight C 165th Fighter Squadron.
Okay.
which none of this matters.
I was going to say, I was like, I don't know if I need to know anything.
It's going
to
be a quiz at the end.
Yeah. So they are performing low altitude navigational exercises. Mm-hmm. And then Colonel Guy Hicks radios to them and says, hey, guys, we needed to change course and intercept an unidentified flying object nearby.
Wow.
Right? And then it's like, okay, guys, this just got this. This is why you have a National Guard.
That's why you fly a plane. That's the only reason you would fly a plane.
I think and so.
The shirtless women. Volleyball.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the homoerotic locker scene.
That's the only other reason is UFOs. Yeah.
I watched that original Top Gun recently. When I say watch a movie these days, first of all,
look at your phone with it on the background.
Even worse than that, I just like scroll through to the parts I want to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really like watch the whole thing. Also, I was on Netflix and I clicked on classics and that was on the classics page and I really had a mental breakdown.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
There were a lot of movies where I was like, that's a movie I grew up watching.
Yeah.
Right?
That's like heavy metal's classic rock now.
Yeah, it's not cool.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I think like
that came out the year I was born, which makes me
84?
Classic.
Oh, 86.
You're 86?
Yeah.
Oh, well, same difference.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you're not a...
Some kind of a classic.
Yeah. But you probably weren't a huge fan of Goonies or Back to the Future then, because those came out those years. Crazy.
Those are on the
classics. I've never seen Goonies.
Page.
I have seen Back to the Future.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like my music on the oldies station. It's just like...
Yeah.
Well, in any case, they said, go investigate this. So they immediately... Three of the four pilots divert to 15,000 feet to intercept the UFO. One of them didn't have enough fuel. So he goes back to the base. And meanwhile, on the ground in Kentucky, civilians were calling the police, like hundreds of civilians saying, there's something in the sky overhead that I've never seen before.
And that's when they had party lines. So you had to wait for someone to get out the phone before you could make a report. It just took forever.
That poor switchboard operator is just like, let me guess, there's something in a
field, right? A stranger field?
Yeah. So they're like, okay, The Kentucky police got so concerned because they were just getting bombarded with 911 calls that they called to the police at Fort Knox in Kentucky nearby saying, just so you know, there is an unidentified flying object headed your way.
Okay.
Right. By the way, those are the Mint police. Did you know there was a Mint police force?
For like the Mint of
the Mint.
Gold?
Yeah, there's like a special... police force, the military who guards the mints and the gold bullion.
Oh, wow.
Reserve,
I did not know
highly
that.
Trained, baddest of the baddest.
Which is weird to me because gold is so heavy. Nobody's getting that out of there. Yeah. Like,
you've got time. If
hold
you just
that
get
thought.
There at all.
Oh.
Hold that thought.
Oh.
Okay. So so they pursue this thing to 15,000 feet. And all we know, aside from... radio tower, like at Fort Knox, there were these captains, and this is what they said. This is Tech Sergeant Quentin Blackwell and whatever PFC stands for, Stanley
Private Allen. First Class.
Oh, Private First
Ooh,
Class.
Well done.
Yeah. Thank you.
He said they described a mysterious object as something resembling an ice cream filled cone.
Delicious.
Or parachute.
It's not an empty cone.
Yeah.
It's full of ice cream.
Full of ice cream. It's full of ice cream.
When you don't want to sound crazy, just describe it as an ice cream cone in the sky. How about anything normal?
Imagine an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Full of ice
cream.
I'm always a fan of the ice cream cone when it gets just to the level of the cone, you know, where it's just like a little bit of a bulge out, or even a little bit parallel where it's just kind of like a packed cone of
ice
cream.
It makes it real soggy on the edge?
I love a soggy sugar cone, man. Really.
I love that last little bite where there's like ice cream in the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
They should just sell those. Just little bites of ice cream.
Absolutely.
The party cap of flavor.
Yes.
It's really good. It's like a bugle.
Yeah.
It's like a bugle chip stuffed with ice cream.
Yeah. Do they ever fill bugles with easy cheese? God, that'd be so good.
That would be good. I think this is how combos were invented.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Mm-hmm, yeah.
But they're not. Combos are actually pretzels.
Yeah. Well, they also have crackers.
But they do.
We're off the rails. What's this UFO doing?
Okay. Well, they were
also
probably
off the rails.
Okay. So then at 2:45, Mantell radioed the tower that he had spotted the object at 14,000 feet.
Okay.
At 15,000 feet, he provided this update. The object is direct ahead of me, above me now, moving at about half my speed.
Okay.
30 minutes later, radios again. It appears, these are quotes, it appears to be a metallic object or possible reflections of sun from a metallic object, and it's of tremendous size.
Okay.
I'm still climbing. The object is above and ahead of me, moving at a speed, moving at my speed or even faster.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I'm trying to close in on it for a better look. Wow. Okay, so now.
Chills.
Yeah.
The other two pilots get to 22,000 feet and they bug out. They're like, we can't take it. We don't have oxygen. We were doing low altitude flying.
Okay, yeah.
22,000 feet is pretty high.
Yeah, cold too.
Very cold. Yeah, so they're like, we're out. I mean, they're like 4 miles above the surface. So they're like, we're out. We can't do this. He continues on to 25,000 feet, pursuing an object that is significantly larger than his and moving at a speed much faster than his. And the other two pilots who bailed when they got back, they said it looked like sunlight reflecting on an airplane canopy.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if you've ever seen, like that almost mirage-looking glimmer that appears on airplane wings and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I could see that.
I mean, so they
kind of like a sparkle in the water.
Kind of like a Ben and Jerry's in the sky.
You know, ice cream, when it's in the sky, the sun reflects off it. Yeah, just like that.
I like the parachute image, though, too, because that kind of looks like an ice cream cone, right? Like a parachute.
Yeah, but is it a sideways ice cream cone, or was it parachute? Like, was the parachute going sideways, or was it dropping to the ground?
Because
the reason I ask, are there depictions in classical paintings of ice cream parachute-looking things flying through the sky? Which say are, like, representations of comets or things like that, but they look like a parachute ice cream
cone. A sideways parachute, which that might make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. There have been like science fiction depictions of spaceships that are kind of like that, where like it's like a.
Yeah.
Kind of like it gets.
Kind of like the Flight of the Navigator.
So I was picturing when it said it looked like a cone full of ice cream, that meant there was no, like the bulbous part at the end, that it was just the cone.
Oh.
And not like the actual ice cream part on top.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because it's just a cone full of ice cream.
Yeah, that's
not because an ice cream cone. I feel like.
Oh, you're saying no. The scoop's gone.
I'm saying there's no scoop on
you
top.
Lost
we're
your
just
scoop.
Down to
it's
the,
down to the part you love.
Yeah, to the, your favorite. Like,
I love that part.
Exact order.
I don't know why. I just Justin's like Grant. When I get down to there, the good. I just like the cone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I've never had a cup of ice cream in my life.
No. Why would you?
Why that doesn't make any sense?
Well, the cup's delicious.
and you can fit more aliens in a cone than a cone.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mantell, our hero in the story, his last transmission was around.
We're team alien.
His last transmission was at 3:30 back to the base, and then not long after that, debris from his airplane was scattered all across the ground.
Oh, terrible joke to have just made. We're team human.
Too late. too early. Too soon. His seatbelt had been shredded. and his plane had essentially been disintegrated. Now, there were reports that his plane had burst. And there was records that indicated that his plane had burst into flames.
Okay.
There was also the last transmission, according to people that heard it, it was garbled because it was at 25,000 plus feet. But radio personnel on the ground said that he said there were people sitting inside the object. He was close enough where he could see people sitting inside of there. and here's what's also interesting. His body was found completely intact. His watch was frozen at 3:18 p.m.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
So now, what I failed to mention, which I think is important here, is that in 1948, Captain Mantell was essentially, he was the Maverick of 1948.
Sure.
We're all picturing Tom Cruise in this story, chasing the alien.
What's that?
So we were all picturing Tom Cruise.
Yeah, right. Like he's
going
like,
up.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
going to
yeah.
keep climbing.
Yeah right. Because, yeah. I mean, he logged something like 3,000 miles, most of which was combat hours, which is an incredible amount of flight hours.
Yeah, to stay alive that long
In the 1940s in World War II when it's like...
And you know their guns? I saw a quote or a statistic that said the guns on full blast on like those types of aircraft back then lasted 30 seconds at the most.
Right.
So you really didn't have a lot of bullets.
No,
there.
No, you it's dropped crazy. A bomb and you had a little bit of artillery to maybe stave off.
Yeah.
That's
right. Yeah. But you guys have seen like the dramatized versions of like World War II where it's like,
oh, just constant.
You're going in to get a bomb. You're just getting shot from the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the kind of pilot he was. He
oh,
was,
that's wow.
He yeah. was the best of the best of his day. One of the most decorated pilots. Mm. He had multiple medals and he had whatever that one award.
Purple Heart.
Purple Heart.
Yeah. No.
The other one.
No, it's one for five. It's one for.
Oh, the Ace.
Man, no.
Ace? Yeah, no. Just you taking, yeah, taking just your
words.
Guesses?
Yeah, what are plain words? He was a Red Baron? No.
he was trained by
courage,
Snoopy.
The word courage,
oh, yeah, courage.
It?
Yeah, yeah, Valor. Valor's a good
you're
one.
You're getting close.
Oh, that's the movie, Courage.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Distinguished Flying Cross.
Oh, yeah, yes. The cross. Yeah.
That's like the one that the pilots wow. are like, he was a Distinguished Flying Cross
okay.
medal
good
winner.
Good for him.
So he was the shit.
Yeah.
And something moving much faster than him that was much larger than him, that potentially had people in it that looked like the glowing sun, shot him out of the sky.
Wow.
At 25,000 feet, disintegrated his plane, but somehow he didn't die. And, like, time stopped at 318 for him. Like,
wait,
like,
he didn't die or his body was still
his
intact?
His body died, but okay. his body was,
yeah, yeah. Wait,
but his body was fully intact. Yeah,
no, right.
Like,
no.
ask him what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, why do we have a mom?
Now, officially, you can imagine what the Air Force said was that he died of altitude
asphyxiation. I was just thinking about
right.
that.
Yeah, because he didn't have supplemental oxygen in there. Yeah. He mavericked it. He just...
Yeah, which, when you're low on oxygen, you hallucinate a bit.
You hallucinate a bit. How do you know that?
Oh, the pass-out game.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
You've played that a lot?
No, just back in middle school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when the principal, his name was... Dr. Beavers came on and told us not to play the knockout game. And everybody was like, what's the knockout game?
Yeah.
And everyone's
great idea.
Did he do it?
Wait, his name was Dr. Beavers?
Yeah.
Wait, what age were you?
Middle school.
Middle school
nice.
Boys, your name's Dr. Beavers.
It was bad for
me?
Him, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always like the worst names choose to work in middle school somehow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beavers.
I had a dick in sheets as a teacher.
Really?
A dick? Yeah, I had Rod Cockshut.
Shut up.
True story.
Oh my, dick in sheets, Rod Cockshut?
Yeah, Rod.
Oh
no,
my
it wasn't
God.
Cockshut. His first name was Rod Cockshut.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, dick in sheets was the married name, so she chose.
Oh.
She could have been like.
That might have been something I.
Maybe it was like
crazy.
Johnson or dick in sheets.
Yeah.
What do I do?
Maybe.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Why upset?
I want to just point out family. That one of the interesting facets about this crash is that it was heavily covered in the media because so many people had reported it on the ground. And in 1948, it was front page of not only the Kentucky paper, but then the larger
but the only
media.
Other paper at the time.
right. I mean, it was a relatively well-publicized phenomena, and it stayed into the sort of UFO zeitgeist that it has had resurgences in terms of popularity. Mm-hmm. And then, do you know what Project Blue Book is?
Is that where you get the value for your car?
Yeah, it is. Project Kelly Blue Book.
Yeah, it's the government's file on all UFO sightings and their investigations. And this was heavily covered in Project Blue Book. All that became available recently.
Oh, right.
So a lot of like ufologists are going back and looking at
ufologists.
Mm-hmm.
Real term.
Yeah,
I'm just hearing for the first time. Thrilled.
Yes, well,
love it.
So they have poured back through this, and some recent articles have come out about it. And so they have been investigating this and trying to figure out. And again, the military believes, official reports, that he died from flying over 25,000 feet without supplemental oxygen. They also believe that it was a balloon, a Navy Skyhook balloon released from the Clinton Air Force Base.
Okay. I gotta look this up.
Not named for Bill Clinton. It was a part of a highly classified program of these like giant balloons that were high altitude devices, and they were filled kind of halfway. So as they went higher in altitude, they expanded and got bigger and bigger, and moved faster and faster. And they think that he was pursuing that.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what it
is? Yeah.
That was.
For those that don't see this, I pulled up a hot air balloon shaped like an ice cream cone.
Which that would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people believe, and I don't know why I find this hilarious, but they thought it was Venus, the planet.
Ooh.
Like he was pursuing Venus. Because in Project Blue Book, Mars, the military.
Yeah, he was after the ladies.
It's like they presented it as like the military requested in their investigation for NASA to give them the exact positions of Jupiter and Venus at like every interval during the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Because they thought maybe he's chasing Venus. Because apparently it's happened before Venus.
Yeah, it has. It's often, there's times when it's a lot closer, so it looks a lot larger. Same with Mars and things
like
that.
It looks like it's moving away from you somehow just because of the rotation of the Earth.
Yeah, the rotation is elliptical, so it's often, even though it's going around, it's closer during certain seasons and things like that. So
right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, Venus gets really close to Earth.
Yeah, it's wild, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Best friends.
Yeah. Well, now, I want to point out that one of the things that has not been talked about much in the official reporting on this, and I think is the key to the whole thing, is the location of where this UFO was moving, which mm-hmm. is above and around the area of Fort Knox.
Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, do you know what Fort Knox is?
Old-timey military defense area in Kentucky.
No. I mean, that's a good guess.
That's a good guess based on...
Sure, you're an Irish. You know, you like... Fort Knox is one of, if not the most secure places in the entire world.
Oh, wow.
Officially, it is where the U.S. stores all of its gold reserves and gold bullion.
Yeah.
Supposedly. Right? It is, over its long history, it has been the home to an incredible amount of bizarre, valuable objects, including like the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution.
Oh, wow.
But also the Magna Carta.
Oh, really?
Which is weird because that's not
gold.
Not an American document.
Yeah.
You know, it's been the home to the Holy Crown of Hungary. Mm. It's like this, like Horcruxes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the Gringotts vault, and there's like the Holy Crown of. Right,
Gryffindor's sword.
And apparently, and this, as far as I know, is still the case, it is the home to the largest supply of morphine in the world.
Oh.
Like, at some point, the U.S. government decided if we ever got into war and we couldn't get opioids to treat our soldiers, we need to have a supply on hand.
Isn't there a shelf life?
Yeah, does it expire? I was just going
to
say.
No, so at one point they boiled it all and converted it all to morphine sulfate that just basically like lasts forever, and they can convert it back to usable opioids.
Couldn't they just do like trade it all in for like just a thimble of fentanyl and call it a day? The same thing?
Well, I don't even think you would use morphine anymore on the battle. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know what they use. I'm not a battley guy.
Well, I don't think they use the thing that ruin people's lives.
I don't know.
I mean, I think we have better drugs now to treat pain. I mean, if you want to just get high, I think it's a great drug. It's just incredibly addictive.
Sure. Great band, too.
Which one? Morphine. Oh.
You ever heard of Morphine?
I don't listen to the oldies, man.
Oh, yeah.
Those classics.
It's classics. I listen to modern
music. It's very slow and it's got saxophone in it. It sounds like you're on morphine. It's a great band.
Well, it does have it. Now, it also is, interestingly, and I think what is related to this, possibly the home to something else. So we're going to listen to a clip.
All right.
Ooh. Now, I will admit this clip is from a television show.
Okay. Mm. Is it Twilight Zone?
No. It's much more mainstream than the Twilight Zone.
Okay.
This is from
Three's Company.
This is from the West Wing.
Oh.
Season 3.
Has the president ever toured the vault?
No.
No, only two presidents have, Roosevelt and Truman.
You think there's something funny going on?
I and two congressmen think the gold has been replaced.
With what? I won't get sucked into this.
Sam.
I won't get sucked into this.
The Papoose Lake spacecraft, taken from Roswell to Groom Lake in 1947. A little piece of land called Area 51, my friend.
It's like Dungeons and Dragons camp all over again.
Dang.
Rob Lowe, everybody.
Yeah, good work.
Wow. So,
and that was from what, the West Wing?
That's from the West Wing. Okay. So the West Wing there is using a bit of conspiracy lore in that dialogue, which many people believe is actually the case. So Roswell, the crash at Roswell, the Area 51 happened in 6 months, almost to the day before this incident.
Okay.
And people believe that what was found at Roswell, not necessarily the wreckage, but the alien bodies and other things, were moved to Fort Knox. And there are a lot of reasons why this makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
I mean, for starters, what the clip says, that the only president, it's not Roosevelt and Truman, it's only Roosevelt who's ever been allowed to go into Fort Knox.
Yeah, wow.
And he was there when it was being constructed, because it was constructed under his tenure, right?
He's a big dude, too. Do you think they, like, can you imagine they just finished it?
Teddy, you're thinking of FDR?
Oh, wait, which one was big?
Teddy was big. You're thinking of Taft.
Oh, wait.
The guy that was buried in like a piano.
Yeah, box. Yeah. Yeah. I was just imagining if they had built it, put the door on when he was inside, and then they were like, oh, we got to take this whole thing back down to get him out of here.
No.
It wasn't that big.
No, that's okay. Not. No, not.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
No, Roosevelt went, at some point recently, 2017, Steve Mnuchin, do you know that guy?
Mm-mm.
The Secretary of the Treasury?
Mm-hmm.
He opened it up and took a public tour and showed one of the compartments of gold, which so the public has been allowed at times, every time somebody says, how do we know the gold's there? They'll open it up and allow a small...
And show the green screen.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at all this gold.
Yeah,
that's right.
Try lifting. It's heavy.
It is built, Fort Knox, of 16,000 cubic feet of granite, 4,200 cubic yards of concrete, and 750 tons of reinforced steel.
Wow.
It is, and that's... just the structure above the ground.
Oh, wow.
Underground, it's even larger, and it's a myriad of compartments and rooms that are all independent of one another.
Mm.
The only security that is publicly knowledgeable is that which is visible by the eye, like if you were to drive by and what you can see, which includes, like, you'd have to cross a minefield. Like, you have to get in through... like a gate, a guarded gate. There's like the Mint police guard the thing. Then there's a minefield. And then you get into like that, all that reinforced. And then you have to go down to where the actual gold is. Now there's seismic sensors everywhere. So if you try to tunnel in, you know, it's like that scene in Ocean's 11.
Oh, yeah.
Like a gopher farts, we would know about it. It's
So
like there's seismic, there's lasers and... with the push of a button, supposedly, the entire basement can be flooded completely.
Oh, wow.
Just water just pours in everywhere, and just anything that's in there just dies.
Crazy. They might as well just flood it now, because gold doesn't oxidize anyway. Just keep it flooded.
Again, remember your point about it gold bullion weight? Like, why would you? Right? So, first of all, there is a lot of evidence that the gold is not there. The gold was there, but then they moved it to another. And there is another bullion reserve. Like, we don't really have gold bars anymore. We have gold bullion.
Oh, that's
makes
just
a
like,
great stock if you're looking for, like, just a really, if you're looking for a stew.
Yeah, I like better than bullion. It's better than gold bullion because it's not cubes. It's wet.
But here's why I think that this is relevant to this UFO pursuit and why I think that Fort Knox is involved. Do you know what is elementary school like in Ireland?
It's very formal.
Very formal?
Yeah, you wear like a uniform.
Uniform. Is it all tied to like Catholic or is it public?
Yeah, it's all
church related. Yeah, all religious. Okay. Like growing up in public schools, there's a moment like all of our schools were surrounded by these big fences.
Hmm.
Like you had like a big fence around your school.
Really?
With barbed wire on them?
Really?
Did you not have
sure
that?
Sure, you went to school.
Like
you weren't
the playground?
In prison?
No, yeah, no.
You were in juvie, dude.
Hey, listen, if you're listening to this, back, like, you think, We had fences around.
Crazy.
With, like, barbed wire.
Wow.
And at one point, you realize that the barbed wire is, like, kind of facing in.
Oh, yeah.
So it's meant to keep you from getting out.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than people getting in, that's terrifying.
You know, everybody was like, oh, wait a second. Because you would go by a prison and you would see the same thing.
Yeah.
Then you'd go by like a place where you're like, oh, they're trying to keep people from climbing in.
Crazy.
And you're like, oh, and that's the thing with Fort Knox, is that people who've looked at the security are like, some of the security is to keep people from getting in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Most of it is to keep whatever's in there from getting out.
Wild.
Like.
What the hell?
Like the alien bodies or whatever is in there. And look, we're talking about the most secure place in the entire world that only one president has ever been to. And every time that someone has sort of opened the door to give the public a view, it's been a very controlled, contained view of like, look, see, here's the gold. Nothing's missing.
Yeah, and don't
it's
look just like the this, curtain.
Like, it's literally right. like showing
you've got
you
got your gold.
Yeah. Right.
Here we are on the moon.
No, it's exactly what it is. It's just like, yeah, see? And now we're closing it back again.
That's crazy. Wait, how do we think these alien bodies, like, do you think we could keep alien bodies alive or preserved? Like, do you think we have the right...
Preserved, probably, right? Deep freeze? You probably deep freeze something?
Yeah, you just deep freeze. I mean, I guess they're, you know...
Flesh.
Just elements.
Yeah, yeah.
The answer to that question is, I don't know. But what I do know that if in 1948 you recovered alien bodies that may or may not have still been alive or some semblance of living, and you were like, what do we do with these things? The only place in 1948 that you could possibly think about securely keeping them is Fort Knox in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Like, we did not have, and we still do not have, a single military institution in the country that's as secure and as hard to penetrate to get in or out of as Fort Knox.
Wow.
And so if there was something like alien bodies recovered, there's no doubt in my mind that that's where they ended up.
Yeah. Crazy.
So my contention is 6 months later, we have one of the most well-documented, well-publicized UFO encounters directly overhead seen by hundreds of people, Kentucky police, a colonel in the army calls in an Air Force operation to come and intercept the UFO.
Wow.
One of the most decorated Air Force pilots in the history of the Air Force physically sees the object, claims that there are people living in it, claims that it's larger than him, that it's moving faster than him, dies in the wreckage with the same sort of like, I don't know if you know, but like in lots of UFO encounters, people's watches will stop. As if the aircraft or something has some sort of time interference. That just
I was going to ask if 318 meant something.
No, it's just that many people who've experienced UFOs have time gaps or just like when they come to, their watch is like 2 hours behind. And it's somehow that like UFO travel is wrapped up in some sort of warping of time. And as you get closer to it, you experiencing it.
And Neil Tyson actually mentioned that recently in an interview, and he's one that does not discuss this stuff really because he's a skeptic, complete skeptic. He was on someone's show recently and he said, if gravity slows down, not only does your brain slow down, but everything around you slows down. So your watch will slow down, everything. So,
yeah.
No, I mean, he was like, so that's what happens when gravity's different. It's just gonna slow down. But also, watches oftentimes in car crashes would stop and just because they're mechanical in there. You know, if you have a lot of watches are shock resistant or magnetic resistant, but a lot of watches back then were not. So you just drop it and it stops. So it's just a little shock that'll stop the entire mechanism.
Skeptic.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm just really into watches right now, so I'm like learning about them. There's any type of shock can mess that. Like if you like G-Shock is a watch that's made to resist shock. It will not break under shock conditions.
Shock meaning like
a drop or a
I thought you meant knock, like
or electrical shock even.
Yeah, I thought you meant like
yeah. There's a Rolex that's made, it's called a Gauss, I can't remember what it's called, something Gauss, but it's used by scientists and it can't be affected by magnetism or shock and electricity and all this stuff. So they make watches specifically for these types of events. But just a regular watch worn by a pilot back then may just stop just by dropping it.
Stop dropping. Lock.
Yeah, stop dropping. I got killed by an alien.
I think a watch back in 1948 was a real important thing.
Yeah, it was. Like
I think men, and I do mean men in this case.
Yeah,
I think they all had a watch and like a cap, a hat when you went.
Yeah,
pocket watches. Remember those? Those
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So watches apparently were only worn by women back in the day. And then the need for watches grew.
It's a girl.
There you go. It's a girl.
Whoa.
But then the need for railway and pilots, they needed them for specific reasons. So then they were adopted by men.
By men.
Interesting. What got you into watches lately?
Just an old man's hobby.
Okay.
And I have no money, but I just like looking at them and learning.
Man, you can learn to fix them, though.
Yeah, I want to do that.
That's the real money.
I love watching those videos.
It's yeah, like they're my, great. Mm. You have that right. You have the mind for that.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys think? I tell you what, man. We have a small list of conspiracies, and there's websites dedicated to this as like conspiracies that you 100% believe are true. Mm. I think I'm 100% sold on this one.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Has that ever happened on this podcast?
No.
Right. Happens rarely.
I'm usually very skeptical, but it's like Occam's razor, which is like the most likely remove everything that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you're like, it does nothing makes sense to me in this except if it's some sort of extraterrestrial something about. I mean, part of the problem with conspiracies that we've addressed is that, like, you have to keep it really tight.
Yeah.
It has to be like very few people have to know.
Yeah.
Right. Like, to pull off 9/11, the biggest hole in the 9/11 conspiracy model,
besides the towers.
Well, it's Tower 7.
No, she got it. Because the planes, you know, holes.
Is that if you believe the wholesale conspiracy, like, it's a lot of coordination with a lot of people.
Yeah. Mm. And people can't keep secrets.
They can't. Right. Not at all.
The basement of Fort Knox, I mean, the number of people, one fucking president has seen it.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Where'd the gold go?
Well, there's another gold bullion reserve in Texas now. And that's what people are like. That's where all the gold is.
Oh, did you mention that earlier and I just missed it?
No, I didn't say that was in Texas. But you can even go on and people talk about that reserve and its security compared with Fort Knox. And they'll say like, oh, we're nothing compared. People say secure as Fort Knox. They're like, nothing is secure as Fort Knox.
Wow. Mm.
It is. Fort Knox is an impenetrable fortress getting in or getting out to this day. It isn't.
They're asking for an Ocean's 11 stop.
They are.
I mean,
you're going to have that as your tagline. Like, you can't get us.
Yeah.
That's wild. I have a conspiracy on top of this conspiracy, which is what if they staged all the phone calls and stuff to get people thinking, oh, there's something above Fort Knox to get everyone's mind off Roswell.
Oh.
Because wasn't it like 6 months later?
The distraction thing.
And then people are like, oh, UFO. Oh, yeah. Conspiracy inception.
Yeah.
So you're saying that,
which does happen. False flag is a real thing.
Like,
yeah,
crazy that it would happen over Fort Knox, and you know it is like back then for them people to like call in. It was like more of a challenge.
Yeah,
like, for the cops to come, like they're out in the field, they have to like get home to be like they can't like just call like hey, they'd have to like get back to their. They don't even have phones in their cars yet. It was all landlines at home.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are we doing?
I also think, and we call it soft disclosure. It's called soft disclosure when. You see something like this in a movie, it's usually in the voice of some crazed lunatic conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. And the government sometimes plants those in movies and television in order to somehow sort of muddy the thing. Like, there's lots of people that believe that most of what is in the X-Files is actually true by releasing it in the form of a fictional television series. You dampen its, to some degree, its potency. You diminish it. So, like, when you say, like, I think Fort Knox where the aliens are, they're like, I think that's a West Wing episode.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, it was a thing.
Yeah.
Then it got written into the West Wing so that when I talk about it, you think that it's just from the West Wing.
Right. But also, I mean, writers have to get their material from somewhere.
And totally.
True.
People love the internet and books.
Yeah. Shane, you got a final thought on this?
Ooh, this one's fun. I remember reading about this story a long time ago, and I always thought it was a little fascinating. It is interesting the time frame that it's so close to Roswell, because I know there is a theory or a hypothesis that there were two crashes for Roswell, and we only hear about one.
Yeah.
There's also, I think it was further south. It was this kid, these two brothers found it, I think. It's a pretty interesting story.
Near Roswell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. But so, I mean, it was called the UFO flap. There's these periods in time that all these UFOs start to appear, and you can go through history and find certain times when UFOs are likely to be seen and when they're going to, you could actually look at a calendar and be like, I know next month or whatever month it'll be, they're going to happen again because it happened this time last year or this time. So there's like a weird reason for this. But yeah, I'd love to think of this pilot's a hero just going up there just like, I'm going to fuck these dudes up.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a tragic nonetheless. But
yeah, Top I need to Gun look into 3, this. Yeah. I could be into that. Yeah. I don't know. I want to look into this more. I got to look more into Fort Knox. Fort Knox showed up in my Reddit feed the other day because they had a picture of the shoes you have to wear when you're in there, supposedly.
What do they look like?
Just like weird clogs? Lead. They look like Crocs. They look like metal Crocs. Because you don't want to drop a heavy brick on your foot.
Those gold bars.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. When Manchin went, the Secretary of the Treasury, or is he the Fed? I don't know.
He's something.
They showed him one compartment of gold bars that was worth $500 million.
Wow.
And that's just like one closet in like acres and acres of...
Crazy.
Scrooge McDuck.
I know, right? Just diving.
Yeah. What do you think? Are you in on this?
Well, first of all, I learned about Fort Knox today, which was huge.
Yeah.
I thought it was a military base. Yeah, I thought it was like
the Alamo.
Exactly. And
have you been to any of those old bases since you've come to the United States?
Well, I grew up in Pittsburgh. I went to Gettysburg Battlefield, and then there's Fort Pitt in Pittsburgh.
Real shitty forts.
Yeah. So I just was thinking this, like, I don't know.
Yeah, the forts, like we have them in North Carolina.
I didn't know it was like... Boom.
No,
like,
no, it's for
the most impenetrable
yeah, fortress. It's crazy, isn't it?
That's crazy, yeah. I'm keen to believe. I mean, I'm down to clown anytime. Yeah, why not? You know, I do love that I like the idea that he's a hero, that he went rogue. Like, I'm going to find out for truth.
Yeah.
And then he radioed back, and like, it is sad that we lost him. But, woof, what a hero, a young man. Yeah.
You know what I forgot to mention is that the people that work on the lower level, who can get into access points, every person has a different protocol and no two people know how the other person gets into like various places. So it's not like, let me key in there, Helen. It's like, no, like you don't even know your coworkers.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know him. I don't know how he gets in there. I don't know what he does.
Like Severance.
Yeah. It's so bizarre.
It's like, you got a key. I got to get in there with a chewing gum and a rubber band. What a weird.
Just solve a riddle.
Yeah. This is so
it's
stupid.
Like the different houses.
Pete MacGyver's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was like, that seems very, like you don't want the left hand to know what the right hand is doing.
Well, like, and right. And like, what really could be in there that would they need to be so secure about?
Yeah.
Can't be gold.
No.
Can't be gold.
Like, no, Shane said,
you
can't. Up.
Like, what are you going to do? Who's going to steal gold? And if you stole gold.
Good luck selling it.
If you stole $500 million worth of gold, what are you going to fucking do with it?
It sounds like they used gold back when they were like, we can't imagine anything ever being more valuable or permanent than gold. Right. And now it's like, well, we didn't really use gold anymore. And they're like, gold. Uh-oh.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, alien spaceships are way more valuable. Put these in here.
Yeah, I would be more concerned if it was filled with $20 bills than I would be. Like, you can't show up to a car dealership and be like, one gold bond.
Yeah, yeah.
For that
stamped with Federal Reserve.
Like, yeah, I found the guy that broke into Fort Knox. Like, it's unfathomable to me that, like.
Yeah, you have to smelt it down if you steal it. You got to do a whole process to even get it street.
You don't go through it. Yeah, like, I cannot think that the security is still to this day what it is for gold bars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, this has been really fun. I know that we talked about it up top, but just as a reminder, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Our very fun guest, friend Helen Wildley, will be at Good Nights Comedy Club on January 18th.
That's right, 8 p.m. Tickets are available.
It's the new club, which was having its grand soft opening earlier that week. And just come check out the club. It's a beautiful space.
It's going to be so fun. I've got great openers coming in. Liz Glazer's coming in from New York City. We've got Ashley Goodermuth from New Jersey. And then EJ Mascampo from Winston-Salem.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
He's so great. And then do you guys know Chrissy Brooks? She's out of High Point.
I know Chrissy
Brooks.
She goes
by Chrissy. Yeah, she's funny. Yeah. She's going to be opening too.
Nice.
Cool.
So excellent. It's going to be a great lineup. So come.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be
excited.
Super fun.
We should get a box.
Yeah.
VIP.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, well, very fun. Well, thank you for coming on
the
show.
Thank you for having. So fun.
This has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm still Justin.
I'm Shane, and this was
Helen.
Peace.
Keep your eyes to the skies.
Yeah, that's right.
Now we get a super fun one.
That was fun.
Yeah.